Now let's continue on and come to Jeremiah 23. Let's read the first couple of verses, and then we'll read a good section of the rest of the chapter here. Now here's where God lays the responsibility. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. Now the shepherds include those who are feeding the flock, in other words, the religious leaders, and also the governmental leaders are not excluded from it. Therefore, thus says the Lord, God of Israel, against the shepherds who feed my people, you have scattered my flock, you have driven them away, you have not taken care of them. Behold, I will bring upon you the evil of your doings. Now then he says, because of the prophets, verse 9. Now let's pick it up here in verse 9. As for the prophets, my heart within me is broken. All my bones shake. I'm like a drunken man, like a man whom wine has overcome because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. For the land is full of adulterers. There's no such thing as privacy rights between individuals who are sinning against the laws of God. Now let's continue on here in Jeremiah 23. Now, what we're going to see is this. Every sin has an effect on first the person, the one who commits the sin. Then on those associated with or friends of or husband, wife of the one who sins. Then the penalty comes upon them if it's bad. Okay? Then it affects the whole society, being then the cities, the towns, the communities, the states, the nation. And so as I read some of these things, this will help you understand why there are the difficulties taking place in the world and in America. Because some of these things are going to be very difficult to overcome. Forests that have been burned down that are 100-year-old forests, they're not going to be replaced overnight. Lives that have been ruined with drugs and adultery and things like this take a long time to recover. And all of those of you who have been in families where there have been drug problems and things like that, you know it affects everyone in the family. It affects the whole community. So it's not just the leaders. It's not just the ministers. God looks at everyone, everything. Verse 10. For the land is full of adulterers, because of swearing, the land mourns, not telling the truth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and then bang, they're burned down with a fire. And their course is evil. They wield power unjustly. Is that not explaining nearly all the governments of this world? You know, the Prime Minister of Australia, she's a pretty strong woman because she said 3 times to all the Muslims, you either live by our laws and you give up Sharia law or you leave. See? Now, I'm sure that God will bless that country because she has enough honesty to stand up and speak the truth. And I remember I did a church at home about repentance and how that God would hear anyone who would repent. And I explained about the governor of Georgia when they had a drought, 2 years ago? Yeah, 2 years ago, where he publicly prayed to God for the forgiveness of the sins of the people of Georgia because they were down in some places to 3 days of water. And God heard and answered that prayer and sent the rain. And in 60 days, all the reservoirs were full. So I'm bringing things out like this. This is not just to attack and castigate those who are at fault, but it is to show the cause and to bring about what God shows as the solution. Amend your ways. You know, all that would have to happen in Washington, D.C. for things to get turned around would everyone quit their lying. Everyone. But they're in so deep, they would indict themselves if they quit. Can you imagine the president standing up there really telling us who he is, where he was born, or he went to school, who taught him, and that he really had an encounter with God, and that he is repenting. He is asking Congress to send me a bill to repeal my Obama tax. I'm getting rid of all of my czars. I'm never going to tell another lie about my opponent. I'm never going to lie to the American people again. And I'm asking all of Congress to join me in repentance, and we all agree to quit lying to the American people. Now, if that were sincere, God would honor that. God would honor that. So that's the whole point in bringing these things out. But here's the problem. For both prophet and priest are ungodly. Yea, in my house I have found their evil. So their way shall be to them as slippery ways in the darkness, and they shall be driven on and fall in their way, and I will bring evil on them, even the year of their judgment. Then he says, come down here to verse 16. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own from their own heart, not out of the mouth of the Lord. They still say to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And they say to everyone who walks in after the imagination of his heart, own heart, no evil shall come upon you. Fulfill your lust. Do anything you want to do. For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and hear his word? Who? Very few in the world. Hopefully all of us in the churches of God. But even some of them, when you read Revelation 2 and 3, you see the difficulties they get themselves in when they invite the world's ways in. Who has attended to his word and heard it? Behold, the tempest of the Lord has gone forth in a fury and a whirling tempest. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he's executed, until he has performed the purposes of his heart. Now notice this sentence. In the latter days, you shall understand it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if, because God is no respecter of person, but if they had stood in my counsel and caused my people to hear my words, then they would have turned them away from their evil and from the evil of their doings. God is right there ready to help. There is not a Protestant minister who could not get up in the pulpit and be honest with all of his parishioners and say, brethren, we have taught lies. We're going to begin to repent by keeping the Sabbath day. And we're going to begin to repent by stop telling lies and following false doctrine. I urge every one of you, if you're lying, if you're cheating, if you're stealing, if you're committing adultery, if you're taking drugs, if you're loaded down with alcoholism, since this whole church is changing, and I'm going to lead the way, the pastor ought to say, I will help you forsake those. But we must get right with God. We cannot go to God any longer and tell God, God, you get on our side because we're good people. No, we have to repent and get on God's side. Well, they could do it. I don't know if a Catholic priest would be able to do it, but he could do it, you know. That'd be pretty hard, because he'd have to say, you know, we believe lies and we've been worshiping things instead of God. I'm going to instruct all the deacons. Now, I know this is going to get me in trouble with the bishop, but I'm going to instruct all the deacons, take down all of the idols and crosses, remove all the candle prayers, no more fires in the candle prayers, and instead of preaching the traditions of men, we're going to teach the word of God, and we're going to start keeping the Sabbath day. Wouldn't that be something? God would honor that, without a doubt, because God says, Am I a God who is near, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? He's close. Can anyone hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? Yes, with his power, with his creation. I've heard what the prophets said who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I've dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies and who are prophets of the deceit of their own heart? They scheme to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell, each one to his neighbor, as his fathers have forgotten my name for Baal, the sun god. So God says, see, if there's not repentance, then he says this. And this is to us, brethren, as well, the second part of it. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream. He who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. And brethren, that's what we endeavor to do. What is the chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? So unless there's repentance, God says, therefore, behold, I'm against the prophets who steal my words, each one from his neighbor. Behold, I'm against the prophets who use their tongues and say, he says what I did not say. Behold, I'm against those who prophesy false dreams and tell them and cause my people to go astray by their lies and their wantonness. Yet I did not send them, nor command them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, says the Lord. When this people, or the prophet or a priest, shall ask you, saying, what is the oracle of the Lord? You shall say then to them, what oracle? I will even forsake you, says the Lord. So we're getting down to that time here in this nation. You know, we took God into the compact of our Declaration of Independence and Bill of Rights, didn't we? And we pledged our name, our sacred honor, and our fortunes. Now you pledge that. And that's for the whole country coming on down to our time now. He's going to hold us accountable. Verse 34. And as for the prophet and the priest and the people who shall say, the oracle of the Lord, I will even punish that man and his house. Okay, let's move on. Let's see what we are to do in these cases. Okay, let's come to Psalm 62. Here's the contrast. Here is what we are to do. Now let's continue on Psalm 62. Here's what we need to do. Only for God does my soul wait in silence. From him comes my salvation. See, we are under grace. We have been called to salvation. God has given us his Spirit. We have a fellowship with God the Father and Jesus Christ on a daily basis through prayer, through study, through meditation, and through praying all the day long as we go about our day. See? God is not only with us, God is in us. And that is great grace. And we hope that the people and churches of God will learn that. The world isn't going to learn it. Now notice the singularity of what we are to do. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall not be greatly moved. See, God will watch over you and be with you. Then you can look out at the world. You know, if the news gets so bad, put away your six-shooter, just turn it off. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain, all of you. You shall be like a bowing wall and a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his great height. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but inwardly they curse. Now, what do we do when we see that? Verse 5. My soul, wait in silence for God alone, for from him comes my hope. See, and we're the hope of the world. That's why we're going to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. He only is my rock and my salvation and my high tower. I will not be moved. God will give us the strength. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength. My refuge is in God. Verse 8. Now notice how he finishes this off in verse 8. Trust in him at all times. all time, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Now see what happens when you get your mind on God and on Christ and on the truth and on developing the character of God. Just like Mike brought out this morning, you are called to become like God. And the whole purpose of the New Testament, the whole purpose of church, the whole purpose of study, the whole purpose of prayer is so God can put in each one of us his divine nature. And then at the resurrection, when we come back to the earth, we are going to rule the world. So I guess in a way that makes us subversive to the governments of this world. See? Then he takes a look back at man. Verse 9, surely men of low degree are vanity. Men of high degree are a lie. When weighed in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression and do not take pride in stolen goods. If riches increase, do not set your heart upon them. God has spoken once, twice I've heard this. That power belongs to God. Also to you, O Lord, belongs mercy, for you give to every man according to his work. Now let's see what else God has called us to do and to know the truth. Let's come here to 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. Let's see what's important for us, brethren. 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. Let's see what we are to be individually, and let's see what we are to be collectively. 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. All right, let's pick it up in verse 14. These things I'm writing to you, hoping to come to you shortly. But if I should delay, you have these things in writing so that you may know how one is obligated to conduct oneself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the foundation of the truth. That's what needs to be found in the churches of God. Pillar and foundation of truth. And that's what God wants us to seek. The truth, the love, the character. So let's finish by going to 2 Peter, the 1st chapter. Here's what God wants us to focus on. Here has to be the purpose in our life on a daily basis. Especially living in the world that we're living in and seeing the things that are going on. This is the only way that you're going to keep your sanity. See, and remember, there's not too much you can do to change the greater world overall today. But you are going to help change it permanently at the beginning of the millennium when Jesus sets up the kingdom of God. And we will rule and reign with him. So let's close by going over these scriptures. Okay? Verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained the same precious faith as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. That's what we need in our lives. In the world, lawlessness is being multiplied. In our lives, we need the grace and peace of God to be multiplied. In our relationship with God, in our relationship with each other, in the things that we are doing to preach to the world, to preach to the brethren, to help them in any way we can, see? Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power. Now think of this. This is what you have. With the Holy Spirit of God, the power of God, it is the divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything else is below that. Through the knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and virtue, through which he has given to us the greatest and most precious promises. You want something in your life? You want something great in your life? How about having the greatest and most precious promises fulfilled in your life. Yes, the world is given over to lawlessness, given over to lies, given over to deception. But when God looks down on this earth, can he see that we love him, that we want him, that we want his ways? And what is he going to give back to us? That through these you may become partakers of the divine nature. No more human nature, godly nature. No more sin, righteousness. No more self-deception, always truth. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. For this very reason also, having applied all diligence besides, add to your faith. Now here's what we are to be busy doing day in, day out. Everything that we set our hearts and mind on to do. Yes, we keep the Sabbath. Yes, we keep the holy days. Yes, we keep the commandments of God. But the love of God is the greatest, and the love of God is the most important. And the divine power of God gives us the ability to grow in grace and knowledge in this way described by Peter. Add to your faith virtue, and virtue is good behavior. To virtue, knowledge. And all of this comes from God through his Spirit, you see. And to knowledge, self-control. God doesn't want ministers ruling over you. He wants Christ ruling over you. That you govern yourself with God's Spirit, with God's laws, with God's word within you, and you develop the self-control. And the self-control endurance. That's what it's going to take in this wicked world. And to endurance, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly love. And to brotherly love, the love of God. Now, all of these things build, you see. And so what we need to become is what we just read here in our daily lives. That's the only way we're going to solve the problems of the world. Now, notice, here's a promise. Here's a promise. Now, if you have any doubt, if you have any wavering, if you have things that you don't know whether this is going to work or not, you get on your knees, you open your Bible right here, you read this, and then read verse 8 and claim this promise. For if these things exist and abound in you, they will cause you to be neither lacking effort nor lacking fruit in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But the one in whom these things are not present is spiritually blind, so short-sighted that he has forgotten that he was purified from his old sins. For this reason, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure, because if you are doing these things, you will never fall at any time. For in this way, you will be richly granted an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So living in a lawless world where lawlessness is multiplied, let these things be in us and let them be multiplied. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.